Chris, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you.
Top man. Well, thank you for joining me this morning. We're going to talk about the Lucy Wilson series in due course. But first up, let's just have a couple of minutes, if we may, Chris, of you telling our lovely listeners who on earth you are.
Oh, well, I don't know how far to go back, you know.
As far back as you like.
Well, in the beginning, they were the dinosaurs.
Yeah, we'll push on from
push
that.
Okay, well, I'm a writer. I live in Cardiff, although I come from the tiny and magical village of Dinas Powys.
Dinky Poo.
Yes.
Dinky Poo.
Mum and Dad will be listening in today.
Good. Excellent.
And yes, I've been writing for quite a long time, but I've tried various genres, various different things. So I actually started out doing comic books.
Right.
A long time ago. So yes, if you want to find a niche, and inside that niche is another even narrower niche. That's
yes.
where kind of British independent horror comics lives.
Horror comics.
Yes.
Oh my
so
word.
I started out doing that. And then moved on to do various sort of other different bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Until I kind of came full circle, because you start out, you know, just writing short stories and that sort of thing, and then sort of came full circle to start writing books
mm-hmm.
with Candy Jar.
Got you. Okay.
Sort of started with the Lucy Wilson series, and I'm occasionally allowed to divert out into the adult range.
Okay.
As well.
But let me just probe a little more then into your sort of background. Did you always know that you wanted to be a writer from a relatively young age?
I think so. I can remember having to do. I can remember in school they made us do a very morbid activity. We had to write your own obituary.
Oh, that's nice for
which,
kids. Yeah, yeah,
you know, back in the days when they probably thought that was absolutely fine. And I can remember in that I did put down that I'd been a writer.
Mm-hmm.
I think I also was an astronaut and had my own private island and a jet.
Right. So I think never a train driver though.
No.
Okay. No.
No,
fine.
That didn't hold. That didn't hold the same allure.
No. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Plane. So yes, but I can remember that. Remember that being in there. And yeah, sort of looking back, I've always been writing in one capacity or another, no matter what else I've got,
yes.
got going on. I'm
surely,
sort of
surely.
Always doing it in some format.
Alrighty. And obviously, we as I say, we want to know a little bit about you. So significant others?
Yes, I'm married. I've got a fantastic wife, Emily.
Emily?
And two little boys. Well, they're not so little now. They're 12.
12?
So, they've got twins, William and
12.
Daniel.
Fabulous. Oh, there we are. So they will be keeping you busy at Christmas.
Definitely keep me busy at Christmas. Yeah, they keep me busy right through the year, really.
Well, yes, I've no doubt.
They are also indispensable, all three of them, actually, in my writing career, as well as in my general life.
Well, yes, absolutely. You have to say that. Yes. So they're good sounding boards, I guess.
Yes, well, Emily's an English teacher. She spent almost sort of two decades getting, you know, trying to get me to use the apostrophe properly, spell words.
I wish I could use the apostrophe properly. I really do. I mean, it's something that, you know, before I die, I'd like to think that I've cracked it, but I'm not so sure that I will.
I think I'm almost there with that. There are some words that I get a lot of teasing.
Right.
Not being able to spell properly.
Isn't it a strange thing? Because my dear wife, Judith, she's very good with apostrophes, and she picks me up all the time. And maybe it's a thing that women are good at.
I don't know. I think when you're writing, and I write very fast, and so I do tend to make quite a lot of typos and mistakes that I then have to go back and fix.
Right, sure.
But once the train has left the station,
mm-hmm.
I don't tend to like to kind of go back. I just want to plough on and you know, get as
yeah,
much done.
Yes, yes.
As much done as I can. But yeah, William and Daniel are fantastic as well, because they are both they're my target market. They're both also very, very knowledgeable, particularly Daniel, in the world of Doctor Who. So they're very good at when I've written a story, they then tell me
okay,
if I contradicted past.
Oh, well, they really are
invaluable. Sort of continuity, yes. So, often go, oh.
So maybe what we should just do, though, for those people that are not really terribly au fait with Lucy Wilson and the link then with Doctor Who, if you will, just explain the relationship to people.
Okay, so if you cast your mind back to what we now sort of call the classic era of Doctor Who.
Yes.
Sort of John Pertwee type.
Oh, that was my era.
Well, you'll remember the Brigadier.
I do.
Okay, so Candy Jar have the license to the Brigadier and various other characters from what they call sort of the Haseman universe, and that allows them to create stories that are sort of canonical in that world. So Lucy Wilson is the granddaughter of the Brigadier.
Yes.
So she starts out in the very first book, she's living in London, and she moves down to Ogmore by sea. So it's a bit of a culture shock, a bit of a change.
I should say.
But then she finds that she starts to have these kind of wild and crazy adventures with aliens and monsters. So yeah, so I think the two core ideas of Lucy is obviously you've got a sort of a fish out of water scenario, because she's come down, she's an outsider. Her best friend, Hobo, is also sort of somewhat of an outsider as well, and they band together and become firm friends, and then these various adventures happen. It all starts out in a book by a lady called Sue Hampton, which is Avatars of the Intelligence. That's the first one,
right?
Where they encounter the Great Intelligence, which is another classic kind of another classic creature and adversary from that time period of Doctor Who.
Yes,
and then the second book that comes along is the first one that I wrote, which is called Curse of the Mirror Clowns. Where I went all out, and there's a creepy circus and aliens, and there's a magical
clowns.
Blue box that causes a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And various things happen. Like puppets are in there. Oh, I really went all in. I thought, you know, if I'm doing this, I'm just going to
chuck the kitchen sink at it. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. I threw it all in there.
Okay.
And it was the first thing I'd actually done written for children. So I've been writing completely for adults before then. So it was a gear change for me as well to write something where I had to. I don't believe at all in dumbing down or sort of writing down to children. If you take a piece of my adult writing and you take a piece of my writing for kids, the language will be pretty much the same. I like big long sentences. I like archaic words.
Right.
I will still use all of those. But I'm just a little bit, you know, there are just certain things you don't do in kids' books quite so much. I think I'm also a bit more whimsical and a bit more fun in the kids' books.
Right, right.
Than maybe the humour's a bit darker in the adult ones.
And so how did you take to Lucy Wilson? Because clearly you have to view her as a real human being, living, breathing, laughing, crying. Was she somebody that straight away you could see where you wanted to take her character?
It's odd because I did agonise over this a bit, because I did think, sort of like, you know, as a middle-aged chap, am I going to be able to write this kind of preteen girl from London? But you end up homing in on the things that are sort of common and consistent. So she is, you know, she's curious and she's adventurous and she's a bit challenging. She's a little bit reckless. And then probably the Hobo character, who is probably more... maybe a little bit more like me. He's a little bit more sort of cerebral and intellectual, a bit more cautious. And he's maybe your point of view character into her world. But yeah, without giving too much away, I suppose I kind of went through the exploration of this, of Lucy in Curse of the Mirror Clowns, because she is very much a character of two sides. She's got her Lethbridge-Stewart side, and then she's got normal Lucy, because her parents don't know everything that's going on, and obviously sort of she tries to keep it all secret and under wraps. So she's got a little bit of a dual life there as well. So we explore that a little bit in the book as well, how those two sides, that duality kind of works out.
I mean, obviously there's been a series of books now written about Lucy's adventures, and clearly other authors as well have contributed to this. But I mean, is there actually sort of a playbook somewhere that where people know the do's and don'ts?
If there is, no one ever gave it to me, I have to say. No, I mean, we all read all of the books. And I think that's the nice thing about Lucy. She's a very elastic and flexible character.
Okay, yeah.
So there is a core timeline.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I will confess I often have to be reminded about.
Right.
And sort of where certain things happen. But I think with storytelling, and particularly, there's a lot of time travel in these stories.
Yes.
So you do have the opportunity. If you really, really want something to happen before something else or after something else, then you can make that happen.
You can make it happen,
and,
yeah.
Sort of the first Christmas story that I did, which is my absolute love. I loved in the Lucy Wilson Christmas stories.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing loops around in such a way that it's sort of one of those, did it really happen?
Did it really happen? Yes, yes.
And I feel quite safe in that sort of space. The last grown-up book that I did for Candy Jar, they very kindly put me in a pocket universe and said, go over there. Go over in this alternate reality where I really couldn't cause a lot of trouble.
All right.
I could kind of do anything I wanted to do then.
So you've alluded to the fact then that it's now become a little bit of a tradition that every Christmas there is a specific Christmas adventure involving Lucy and some of the other characters. And I mean, what a lovely idea that is, because I mean, even now at my advanced age, I really love it where then some of the authors that I enjoy do, not necessarily every year, but occasionally then do bring out something that is very much of the festive season.
Yes, I mean, I think it's full of just great imagery and things you can tap into and things that are common, so it gives you a convenient shorthand.
Yeah.
You don't have to describe things maybe in quite as much detail, and you can talk more, you know, in the abstract of Christmas.
Yeah.
And sort of,
yes.
I like to do a lot of fun things about family Christmases. So in one of the Christmas stories, Lucy's mum is in a sort of a full-scale battle with the people up the street for who's got the best Christmas lights.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's things that you can kind of reference and understand
from your own
life. But yeah, I mean, it's been really exciting doing that. It's a lovely thing to do. It's a bit of a tradition in our house now that I read the Christmas story to the kids.
Lovely. Yes.
So the first time they see that one is actually when we do that. But it's extra special this year because we've got... So there's a collection of Lucy Wilson stories called Christmas Crackers.
Yeah.
I've got one story in that with a group of other authors. And that's actually quite a large quantity of those are going out to food banks this year. So it was a fantastic surprise, really, when they told me about it. So it's the first Christmas collection. And, yeah, so it's quite a lot. It's into the hundreds of copies are going off to food banks around Wales.
Yeah.
So that, so kids get the opportunity to have a Christmas book.
The idea is just to try and make some children's Christmases a little bit brighter. And I mean, what a super idea.
Yeah, and I think it is quite magical, really. You know, because I say, it's sort of a family tradition in my house to sort of read these stories. And I've been writing the Christmas story now sort of most years for the last couple of years. And they normally go out free in sort of an electronic format to subscribers on the mailing list and that sort of thing, and that's like a thank you for the support through the year and, you know, for people buying the books and all that sort of stuff. But this is the first time, to my knowledge anyway, we sort of branched out beyond that and had it as a tangible physical thing that people can, you know, people can pick up.
Yeah, yes, and, indeed.
You know, so it's quite, you know, it's slightly bittersweet. It's very heartwarming and you're very excited to be a part of it.
Yeah.
You kind of wish that people didn't have to go to a food bank to
get indeed.
At the same time, but if those are, you know, people's circumstances at the moment, then yeah, it's very exciting to know that, yeah, kids will, you know, be able to pick that up and enjoy that over Christmas. And there are some fab stories in there.
Well, it certainly sounds like it, and I mean, realistically, it could well be the sort of thing that's going to stay with those children in their memories for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, it could well be. I mean, I think that's one of the fun things, I think, about writing for kids. Maybe it's a bit like, you know, you get in there early, you get in first, you get your space,
yeah,
and that's it. You stay wedged in the memory forevermore.
So let me say the stories, apart from your good self, there's Karen Williams, Terry Cooper, Tim Gambrill, and Cherry Cobb.
Yes, that's like your rock stars of
rock stars of Lucy Wilson world. Yeah, 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 yeah. So that's called Christmas Crackers,
yeah.
And obviously it's also available should people wish to purchase it. And the other Lucy Wilson mysteries, the Best Christmas Ever,
the Best Christmas Ever, which
ever
is the boldest title,
isn't it? Ever.
Sean picked that for me. I'm quite concerned now that next year I'll have to do the Best Christmas Ever too.
Yes.
And I'll just get into that cycle.
Ever, ever, ever,
like, now that's what I call music and those sorts of things.
Yes,
yeah. So
yes, yes.
The Best Christmas Ever is a new collection.
Mm-hmm.
So that is available exclusively at the moment from the publisher. You can order that from Candy Jar.
Yep, yes.
And if I remember correctly, that if you order it before the 18th, it will be delivered by Christmas.
By Christmas. By a man with a white beard and a big tummy wearing a red outfit.
Quite possibly, yes.
I mean, that may be the postman. But
if your postman happens to wear red and happens to have a big white beard.
Indeed, yeah.
But yes, so that's got three separate stories in it. We call them stories. I have a tendency, particularly with the Christmas ones, to kind of go beyond the length of sort of a short story. So they're all about kind of 15-odd thousand words. They're more like little novellas.
Yes,
so it's three little sort of novellas that are all by me and all feature Lucy and Hobo and her family having Christmas-themed adventures.
Christmas-themed adventures. I mean, there's can't be anything better, really. So what does 2023 hold for you?
Well, so yes, I've got a laundry list of things that I'm committed to do with candy jars. Some of them,
yeah.
Some of them bigger, some of them smaller.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice actually to get back out and back to literary festivals as well, which was a really difficult
thing. Which everyone's missed.
Yes, a really difficult thing during the sort of the pandemic. So I managed to do just one I think I did last year, which was the Lantwit Festival, which is called These Three Streams, which is a really fantastic festival. So it took over the whole town for a couple of days. And yes, I interviewed a friend of mine, Louise Mumford, who's also an author, and she was really brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
We had a cream tea, and you'd come and sit.
Oh, nice. Cream tea, really nice. Yes.
Yes, and so this year we're also both back at that one, although I've branched out this year. So this year I'm giving a talk on time travel
and
paradoxes.
Okay.
Because clearly, as not a physicist, I'm completely qualified to talk about time travel.
I'm sure you'll sell it to them. You'll sell it to them. They'll say, yes, we must do it. We must do more time travel.
I think we should all do more time travel.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. So really, you've got your hands full. Lots of stuff going on. Lots of things to look forward to. But I mean, let's just give a big up, if we may, again, to Candy Jar. And I try to do this with all of the authors that come in, because clearly, publishing at any time of the year, difficult. At any decade that you tend to want to go back to, difficult. But obviously on the back of the pandemic and so on, it is a hard job indeed, isn't it?
It's a massively hard job. I mean, it's such a crowded, publishing in such a crowded market space now.
Because
really anybody can, you can write your anything of any length, actually, and then you can go to Amazon and you can publish it yourself, and it's out there.
Yes.
So there are more books published now than ever.
Absolutely.
So it's so difficult. to kind of push out
a very crowded market.
Yeah, and to get stuff out there in the first place. And the team at Candy Jar are fab, actually, because they are really, really supportive, and they look after all the authors
really
well. And obviously they give us access to this fantastic toy box, this fantastic shared universe.
They certainly do.
As you go through now, you realise that you start to interact with each other's stories.
Yeah,
So I was reading one the other day, and one of the characters I created turned up and got a mention. I was like, "Oh, that's my character there."
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
The Whovians, Doctor Who fans as well, are massively supportive of the extended universe.
Mm,
so you can go on to things like there's a fantastic website, which until Will and Dan took over as my fact checkers, was my absolute bible, which was the TARDIS wiki.
Right,
and I get very excited whenever I appear in there. And whoever maintains that has done the most detailed breakdowns of some of the stories.
Well, don't want to use the phrase anoraks, but you're bound to think a little bit.
They're absolutely brilliant. If they are anoraks, then I'm the anorak king. I'm made of anorak.
There we are.
I love them.
Love it. Chris, if people want to find out a little bit more about your work, where should they go?
Probably the easiest thing to do is just go to my website,
which
is www.chrislynch.link.
Very easy.
I had the level of hubris where I could just buy a domain name that was my own name. But it does make me quite easy to find.
Okay, excellent, excellent. And obviously, if people also go to the Candy Jar website, they will find plenty out about all of the Lucy Wilson series. And there are many of them.
Yes, it's a really extensive range. And there's also then, if you're not looking for kids' books but for adult books, there's the whole Lethbridge Stewart line.
Yes.
Unit books. There's a huge amount of stuff there. And quite often there were sort of little mini series, sort of three books in a chain, four books in a chain.
They
make a fantastic kind of, sort of boxed set style read.
Well, it sounds like there will be plenty there for people to look at. So we need to remind people, Christmas Crackers, the Lucy Wilson Mysteries, and also The Best Christmas Ever.
Best Christmas Ever. It's on the front. It's a guarantee.
There we are. Enough said. Thank you so much for coming in this morning, Chris. Please come back and see us maybe sometime in the new year. Tell us a little bit more about some of the things that you've been involved with and you've decided as you're going to be doing, because clearly you are a busy man.
Yes, there's quite a list.
There we are. Well, as I say, I do thank you for taking the time to come in this morning. Have a great Christmas, you and yours, and best of luck, obviously, with the book. I don't think you need to be wished best of luck, because, I mean, they're already surefire winners, I suspect.
Well, I hope so.